Hello, everyone. Welcome to Setter Talk. I am your host, Kyle Warren. This podcast is sponsored by Embark Vet and Dr. Tim's Pet Food. Embark Vet is a DNA testing company focused on helping breeders and purebred dog enthusiasts understand and improve the genetic health of their dogs. Embark's DNA test provides a comprehensive assessment of your dog's genetic health, genetic diversity, and physical traits. Embark's DNA testing process was created in partnership with Cornell University College of Veterinary Medicine, and test results are accepted by OFA and other leading canine health organizations. To learn more, visit embarkvet.com/breeders. And by Dr. Tim's Pet Food, created by veterinarian and accomplished musher Dr. Tim Hunt. Dog food formulas promoting stamina, endurance, and performance through proper nutrition. Dr. Tim's has been fueling champions for many years in the Iditarod, the field trial circuit, and hardworking hunting dogs all across North America. To learn more about the trusted source of nutrition for the canine athlete, visit drtims.com. Thank you for tuning in to Setter Talk today. I'm your host, Kyle Warren. Our guest is Travis Powers. He's a proud owner of 3 setters and an avid upland hunter. Travis, welcome to the show.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I'm happy to have you here. One of the reasons, the reason why I wanted to have you on the show is that I feel you represent a group or a type of hunter that I feel is kind of, I don't say unique, but part of a smaller group and type of hunter that I feel is special and really important. And that's that all of your bird dogs, correct me if I'm wrong, but all your bird dogs are rescues in some capacity or another. And I think that's wonderful. I think we need more people like you in the upland hunting community. And I just think you're a great guy to do what you're doing and give these dogs not just a second chance at life, but instinctively fulfill that life with, you know, their natural talents and nurture that. So I applaud you for that. And it's a much needed thing. And I think rescuing and adopting a dog in general and rescuing, adopting a setter and making it into a bird dog, that's just that's a wonderful thing. And again, I applaud you for it. And I very much appreciate your involvement in rescue like that. So I would love for you to give our listeners a little more background on yourself and your dogs, if you wouldn't mind.
Not at all. I appreciate the kind words. And we got involved in just general dog rescue, gosh, back in 1999 when we bought our first house, and we just signed up to be a foster house for the dogs. And I think our first one was a beagle named Sid, and had him for a couple months, I think it was. And then the same rescue group called me on a Friday night, and they had two GSPs that needed a home for the weekend because they didn't have anywhere to take them. And we had an indoor-outdoor kennel, so I said, you know, sure, no problem. And the two Shorthairs were probably about a year old at the time. They didn't know anything about them. They found them running, couldn't find the owner. And it didn't take long for me to fall for the female Shorthair. She was just the sweetest dog, and my wife had been gone for the weekend. So when she got home Sunday, I was like, oh, by the way, we have, you know, two rescue dogs here with us, and this one we're keeping. I named her Althea, and so that's kind of how it started. My dad was a bird hunter as I was a kid, so, you know, being that I was finally on my own and could have dogs, I thought, what a better way to get back into the upland community. So so yeah, I had her trained, and boy, Kyle, she ended up being probably the best dog I'll ever own. She was just so much fun to hunt behind. And I was a rookie, so I literally had nothing to do with it. She, you know, she was just one of those that would sit and point. And, you know, my dad hunted with her one day, and he said, you know, I could finish my cup of coffee and she would still be there disappointing when I finally got there. So, so she and I spent, a good 10, 11 years probably chasing birds here in Southeast Michigan. I'm more of raised a pheasant and quail hunter down in Indiana. So we did a lot of that until we accidentally discovered, woodcock, and then the woodcock took us into the grouse woods, and you know how that goes. The rest is downhill from there. You rarely go back to the fields after you get into the woods. But she retired. I had to retire her a little early because of arthritis. So I immediately started looking for another bird dog. And I got on all the rescue sites, and our local I think it's the Michigame English Setter Club has a rescue program that they operate as well. And they had a very young English setter that they had brought in, who needed a home. And, long story short, he ended up ours very quickly. And so I outsource all of my training. I'm not a dog trainer. So I sent him away. He had some issues that he brought with him. That's the thing about rescues. Sometimes you don't know what you're getting. Sometimes you do. But he just turned 9, and he and I have walked more miles than I ever thought I would with the dog. And being that he had some issues to work out with bird hunting, and it's just something about giving a dog a second chance in general, through the rescue, but helping them also, live out the purpose that they were bred for, is there's something special about it. It took he and I a little while to get our first ruffed grouse, but I'll never forget that day when he finally figured it out and pointed it and, retrieved it back to me. And we just sat there forever and enjoyed the victory. So there's always been something a little extra special about the, hunting with a rescue dog. And he's a perfect example of it. Like I said, my first bird dog was a great bird dog. It's taken him a while to find himself, but I think we've all been in that boat personally. So I could definitely relate to him being a late bloomer. So those were the first two. And then we foster for a couple of English setter, rescues. And, my third one came in. She was an owner surrender and had a great bloodline. I mean, she has some Tekoa in her bloodline. And I assume most people have at least heard of, some of the good field bred dogs and the lineages. Yeah. She came in as a foster, if you will. And I was kind of looking for another bird dog anyway. And, unfortunately she had been done wrong by the first owner. Not really abuse, it was more neglect. She was feral when we got her, maybe a year and a half. And so I just felt sorry for her. I make too many decisions when it comes to animals with my heart. So we kept her, and I tried to make her a bird dog. She's been up in the grouse woods a couple times, and she just didn't make the cut to reliably go hunt with. I still do. She didn't make it, which is fine, because I had Quimby, and he's my, like I said, he's my main bird dog, or was at the time. So we just take her along on what we call pretend hunts from time to time.
Yeah.
And she doesn't really know the difference. I still take her out. She's the sweetest little pocket rescue dog you'll ever meet. She's a, 35 pounds soaking wet. So what she doesn't have in ability, she makes up for in cuteness, for sure. But, But yeah, she's the same age as Quimby. They're both about 9 years old. So yeah, being plugged into the setter rescues and just bird dog rescues in general, you kind of get a feel for what's out there. If you're looking for a dog, you know, I let them know. The nice thing about rescues is you're pretty much at least going to get a history with some of them, not all of them, but most of them have been living with someone for 3 months. So you're going to know the temperament, if they're good with kids, if they're good with other dogs, with cats and stuff like that. And they pull some out of shelters, but they also have a lot of owner
or the owners will,
yeah, the owner surrenders. So you know, it's not for everybody, and that's, you know, about the time I got my Irish setter pup a couple years ago. If you remember, I had talked to you about, you know, buying a dog because I at one point in my life I'm going to own a grouse dog. I won't fool anybody and say that I've hunted behind one of my own yet, but I really would like to have, you know, a grouse bred dog, especially, you know, like I said, one of yours, or Dennis has some great GSPs up in Gwynn. So one of these days I will, but about that time is they had this owner surrender who wanted to get rid of a 6 month old Irish setter. And so I got tasked with trying to bring them into the rescue. He had ended up on Craigslist. And they try to pull those pretty quickly just because bait dogs, and you never know who they're going to go to. And you've had setters long enough to know it's not for everybody, you know.
Sure.
Different dogs for different people. So they really try to get them into the rescue so that they can vet them and go to someone that knows what they're getting into. And that's ironically how most of them end up in rescue, is people kind of got one on a whim and they're like, I had no idea they had this much energy, or, you know, they needed this, that, and the other. But yeah, the lady just didn't want him to go into rescue. She wanted to know exactly where he was going and really didn't want to part with him. Well, that I'd talked to her so much, and she had told me his background and, you know, his bloodlines, and it turns out he comes from some pretty good bloodlines, not grouse dogs, but, you know, it's a bird dog. So so I did some begging and pleading that every guy has done with their wife, and yeah, not too much longer, I had a bird dog on the way up from Tennessee. So he's our fourth rescue setter. He's a, you know, an Irish setter from Dual Lines. Beautiful, beautiful dog. And this one was probably the blankest slate I've ever had with a bird dog. So getting him trained and up and going was pretty easy to do. I still outsource the training because I'm not a trainer. But yeah, he went and stayed with Dennis up at Aspen Thicket for a month. And it's always good when Dennis calls and says, you have some potential here. You know, that's a good thing to hear. So we just finished our second year with him. Quimby and I have been going at it for 8 years. And I'm the perfect person probably for hunting with rescue dogs because my expectations are low. It's, you know, I'm not out there to kill birds and put a bunch in my bag. I'm out there to walk with a couple of dogs throughout the day. And that's, at the end of the day, it's just as enjoyable, I think, with, it really doesn't matter what kind of dog it is. You know, people that I've mentored with Quimby, they're just blown away to hear that that's a rescue dog. I didn't know you could do that. You know, there's a lot of bad things out there that you hear about rescues and rescue dogs and stuff. But the ones we volunteer and work with are hunter friendly. you know, they're in the hunting communities. They know what these dogs are bred for. So that makes it a little easier, definitely. But yeah, it's like I said, I want my next dog to be a grouse dog, but at the end of the day, I'll probably be looking online that day and see some rescue that needs a home, and we'll end up with my fifth rescued bird dog. But that's, like I said, I'm not a very serious hunter. I spend a ton of time hunting with my dogs, but we have fun no matter what happens at the end of the day. So like I said, I'm the perfect person. I don't do trials with mine. I'm not saying you couldn't, because you know, it's more about the training than anything mm-hmm. else that they get. Sure. They, most of them have it in them for the most part. Some don't, but, you know, the rescues will even bring in, owner surrenders from kennels where they've been retired from the field, or they no longer, you know, have what it takes to compete in field trials. So it's worth checking out, some of the different bird dog rescues just to see what they have in their inventory. Cause they get dogs in all the time. And if you wanted to hunt with one, it wouldn't take much to find a good bird dog out there that they know the history of, the lineage, they have the papers, you know. Some of them might, there was one not too long ago that was pretty much trained to bird hunt, and just, you know, for whatever reason, the owners had to give up that dog, and it stinks sometimes, but those folks really want to know that their dog's going to a hunting home, and it gives them a little bit of a relief to do that. So if, you know, if people are interested in it, and it's not just, I mean, you and I have the setter addiction, but, you know, we've worked with the Springer Rescue, here locally. There's some GSP rescues that we help with. Every breed has its own rescues, and for the most part, they're nationwide. So, I know that was a long way to get around the barn to tell you about my rescue dogs. But yeah,
I think one of the things, you know, just writing down some notes as you're telling us all of that. And, you know, I train dogs for a living, and I've certainly worked with my fair share of rescue bird dogs and helped to get them on their second chance way. And I think something that you've done, and obviously taking it beyond just a companion dog and bringing it into the realm of being a working dog, a hunting dog, you know, is that, you know, seeking out some professional help from trainers, is a whole nother dimension, you know. And, in today's day and age, between all the do-it-yourself training, you know, that, and, resources that are out there, there's an additional, not always, as you thoroughly described each of your dogs, they're all very different, how they came to you and who they were, when they came to you. You know, but there is an additional layer, that can be presented with taking on a rescue and, trying to foster their huntability and be able to hunt over them. So that's something that I think certainly has been great. And, you know, maybe each of your dogs hunt grouse to different degrees of efficiency and effectiveness. But by all means, you know, as far as they're concerned, they're grouse dogs, right?
Exactly.
And,
yep.
Yeah. And I have no doubt at all, having had to put the time and energy into the spectrum of setters, whether we're talking rescues or well-bred dogs that had the, you know, optimal start to life. I'm sure that first grouse that you get over that dog that, you know, you saved a life and made a life with, it is definitely extra rewarding. I've been there for a few that I've helped along that way, and I can very much understand how that feels. So that's really cool. I know while you might not hold a tremendous expectation, because first and foremost, they're your family members, and that's a wonderful thing. And certainly all my dogs that I find homes for, that I put out there myself, you know, I always tell my my clients, you know, while I'm looking for people that are out there 40 days to 90 days a year, in the field, you know, they're a family dog 365 days a year. And, I think, your perspective and your attitude, definitely, fosters and nurtures, the dogs that you've acquired and putting them in the best position for success. But I do know that you get out there and at it, an awful lot in the woods. Your dogs get a lot of exposure. I know Quimby, is, your, you know, senior in chief, that you have, currently. And I'm sorry, what's the Irish setter's name? I know, in social media, he's referred to affectionately as the Red Devil.
Yeah. He's been a handful, but, his name is Murphy.
Murphy. That's right. So you live in, Southeast Michigan now, or that's where you had and you moved further north? What's your general location?
I'm still in Metro Detroit down here in Southeast Michigan. And then, we usually have about a 2 to 3 hour drive to get up to most of our grouse spots. But, I'm a weekend warrior, so we'll leave on Fridays and come back on Sunday evenings. Usually we found a really good hotel up there. Well, motel in Northern Michigan where, she's fine with Quimby sleeping on the bed. She always has an extra sheet for us because she knows I have spoiled bird dogs that don't sleep out in the truck at night. So, so we have a good place to stay up there. But yeah, it's, you know, we have a, it would be nice to live closer to grouse. I don't know. I don't think you have them out your back door. I could be wrong, but,
no, I don't, not here. Thankfully. Now you drive 2 to 3 hours, and your bird numbers are way better than my bird numbers. But I generally have to drive an hour and a half from home here to get into them. But it's I can't complain. I have tremendous training grounds and plenty of pigeons to keep us occupied when we're not hitting the woods every day. During the season.
And that's where. I think we're lucky down here just because, there are woodcock down here. You know, we just finished up kind of getting some of the flights through here, and I'm on the northeast side of Metro Detroit, if you will. So, there is some public access out here to hunting ground. So, you know, in the fall, I can be on woodcock in 15 minutes and we do have some wild pheasant in Michigan. They just started releasing pheasant again last year. And I do have some of those in my backyard. So it's Quimby and I haven't accomplished the triple play yet, if you will, mm-hmm. where we get, you know, a rooster, a grouse and a woodcock, all on the same day. But I've seen them all flush on the same day, if that counts for anything.
Always if you were in the right place at the right time, it would have happened.
Yeah. I need to work on my grouse shooting ability. But so that's, you know, while we're pretty lucky down here to at least have some wild birds. And, you know, to maybe 15 years ago, my first dog and I, Althea, my GSP, we had some really good farms down here that had good pheasant numbers. And believe it or not, we would put up covey of quail consistently in the early 2000s down here. So So yeah, it might be that perfect fall day where you might be able to see all four of them. But I was carrying a pump back then, my dad's old pump gun, and I definitely wasn't a good shooter back then. So she never got the quadruple, let alone the triple. But yeah, it's nice just to be able to go down, you know, 10 minutes down the road and let your dog point a few woodcock for the day or something like that. And that's kind of my favorite bird. I love grouse hunting, but I really hold the American woodcock in high esteem and mm-hmm. try to do a lot for its habitat, you know, especially down here where, you know, habitat definitely isn't like what we're used to seeing up in northern Michigan. So
yeah.
So it isn't so bad. And plus, you know, down here it's a little easier to make a living because it's, you know, a little more money flowing down here than up north. But yeah, I'll be up north one of these days with the dogs, hopefully for good.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. You know, so one of the things that, you know, a lot of people that listen to this certainly don't have setters and certainly this conversation, as you had mentioned, you know, expands to every hunting breed out there, whether it's a pointer or a flusher. But while it's not a smoke and mirrors idea or a far-fetched idea that you can take a rescue dog and make it into a decent quality bird dog at minimum with the you know, right amount of time, patience, and sometimes finances. But you know, I really want everybody to get to know you a little bit more in terms of you know, your process with it. And I think that it's important for the public to look at you know, our rescue hunting dogs that can offer all the enjoyment that you know, you certainly have had. You know, you have a mixed bag of dogs you know, with inherent ability and baggage, right? And but ultimately you know, you get out in the woods regularly, and these dogs have a great opportunity. So certainly from a breeder's perspective, I mean, something that I would want to, you know, give a pat on the back and a shout out to breeders, while, you know, once the puppy leaves my hands or anybody that has a litter's hands, you know, you're to a degree powerless, with what happens there. So we vet, homes as best we can that are going to be, great family homes, in addition to hopefully providing great hunting homes. But, you know, we certainly hope that breeders will always take back any dogs that they put out there and try to find them homes. And again, perhaps that's even like, yes, you mentioned how sometimes, you know, these dogs are ending up in foster situations and stuff because they're well cared for and they might be coming from a point of being retired, or maybe they came back to a breeder. But certainly, you know, that's always been my policy, and quite a few breeders that I know, you know, that care about their dogs, we would want to try to take them back. And certainly, you know, with having social media today, it's a great platform to really get the word out there. When I see setter around, floating around, especially a Llewellyn, I try to give it a little FaceTime there to, try to help find a home. But, if there's is there a particular organization or rescue groups, that you might have a list for, or a couple names that you could rattle off that have setters, that focus on setters that over the years of you doing this, you know, 20 years now, you might recommend that people could look into and check out, because anytime I've ever posted a photo of a setter in need, and again, usually it's a Llewellyn, and I've done it a handful of times over the last several years. I certainly won't say that I contributed to finding that dog a home, but I feel like, you know, there's It spreads like wildfire in a good sense, and to get the word out there. So what organizations have you worked with the setters? If you could rattle off some names, or if you happen to know their web addresses, or at least people could look them up on Facebook or whatnot. That'd be great if you could share that.
Absolutely. The Michigame English Setter Club, it's MICHIGAMME. They have a Facebook page, and like I say, they have a rescue as part of the club as well, and that's where Quimby and Lucy came from here in Michigan, and she's done Cindy's done a great job pulling setters out of shelters up here, and we've fostered a few dogs for her, so they do a very good job of bringing in the setters that need it. And then we also volunteer. My wife Wendy does some of the screenings, because when somebody wants to adopt a setter, you know, they do the background just to make sure that the dogs they have currently are up to date on their vaccines and, you know, getting seen regularly. So she'll do some of that. And then if it's local, we'll go do a home visit, because that's another part of the process when you're getting a rescue dog, is they at least want to know that it's got a safe place to go to and some sort of fence. You know, we have an invisible fence as opposed to a real one. But so we'll go to the homes and just check them out, make sure they're, you know, decent people. Like you said, when you give a pup away, you're doing everything you can to make sure that pup is going to the best home it possibly could. And the rescue organizations are pretty much the same way. So our English Setter Rescue, they have a Facebook page. Their website is oesr.org. They're nationwide. Like I said, we do some of their screenings and have taken in some rescues or some fosters for them as well. If you see a dog that they have, if I'm in Michigan and there's one in Texas, they're very good about letting you talk to the foster parents just to kind of get a feel for the dog and stuff like that. And then pretty much every Saturday, if you look on their Facebook page, they have dogs moving throughout the U.S. They have volunteers in all the states that will, you know, they'll put a track together. And one of our fosters came up from Kentucky a few years ago, and yeah, just showed up somebody, you know, that got the last leg, dropped her off at our house. So it's nice because, like I said, if you see one in Idaho and you're in Massachusetts and that's the one you want, then that's the one you're going to get. You know, they have the volunteers mm-hmm. network to get that to you. And then we've done some home visits for A Better English Setter Rescue as well. They have a Facebook page. It's abetteresetter.org is their website. And then, yeah, they're on Facebook. They're essentially nationwide as well. Very hunter friendly. So is OESR. You're going to know about the dog before you get it. And same thing, if it's four states away, they'll get it to your house. And it's no additional cost. Like I said, these are all volunteers that do this. So pretty much all you're going to have to cover is the adoption fee for that dog. And then if you're in Michigan, Southeast Michigan Bird Dog Rescue, they're, you know, they do setters and short hairs, and they do pretty much any kind of bird dog that needs help here in the state if no one else has stepped up. And so that's the Sims run that organization, and they have a Facebook page, and they've placed a lot of rescue dogs here in Michigan as well. But yeah, whatever your particular breed is, if it's not a setter, which, you know, why are they? Hopefully, you're getting a good amount of people listening to you, but. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're into labs, if you're into springers, if whatever it is, just type that and rescue behind it in Facebook, and you're going to pretty much come up with the same thing these days. So, and whatever your expectations are, let them know that, and they will do a pretty good job of matching you up with a dog that meets those expectations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great. That's good. So everybody that is interested in helping any of those organizations with time or donations, certainly those are some of Travis's endorsed organizations through his experience. So that's really great. I appreciate that. Certainly, if there's ever any that you happen to hear of over in the New York direction, I don't necessarily have the time to drive them halfway across the country, but I'm always happy to do an evaluation or consultation just to put that out there to you and your set of rescue community. I really appreciate all that you do, Travis, and I'm glad we got to talk today. I hope this this conversation to our listeners has them more open to the possibility of adopting or rescuing a bird dog that might be in need of a home, that is possibly in a bad situation or just needs to be in a different situation. So again, thank you a lot for your time today.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate what you do and you bringing light to this, because yeah, there's a lot of misconceptions out there about rescue in general, and especially how they, you know, mix with the hunting crowd. And that's that.
Sure.
You know, just yep. Opening people's minds to it. It, like I said, I've had four, and here probably in the next couple years, hopefully I can talk somebody into getting my fifth, and we'll go from there. But yeah, it really is a viable option. And that's, I got a message today that a guy wants a bird dog, but his wife insists they have a rescue dog. And so mm-hmm. just, you know, helping point them in a direction and go from there. So yeah, sometimes it's out of necessity and sometimes it's out of need, but either way, there are plenty of organizations out there to help you do that if that's what you want to do. So yeah, I really appreciate you raising the awareness of the rescue dogs. They're near and dear to my heart, and volunteers, they always need volunteers. And it doesn't, you know, a lot of people say I couldn't do the fostering part, which is kind of hard to say goodbye at the end, but you just go into it knowing that that's going to happen, but that's not all that they need. You know, like I said, the home visits, the screenings, some of them match angels up with dogs, and you can just send them treats if you want to, or a collar or a leash, or, you know, whatever it is, just to help lessen the burden on the foster parents. So there's all kinds of ways to help out the rescues if that's what folks want to do as well. They always need volunteers.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think we have hopefully shedded some light on the subject and these dogs that are in need. And unfortunately, we'll probably always have dogs in need, but fortunately, we'll always have people like yourself. So again, thank you for everything that you do. Everybody, thanks for listening today. This is Setter Talk. I'm your host, Kyle Warren. Our guest has been Travis Powers. And until next time, give your setter a scratch on the head for me and make it a great day. So we just wrapped up an episode of Setter Talk with our guest, Travis Powers. I wanted to have an additional message on this particular podcast episode, as while certainly I breed Llewellyn setters and try to do so responsibly and always try to vet my homes, as I hope that all breeders do that are putting puppies out in the world, there's a market for every type of dog out there. And I think that the rescue world of setters and other bird dogs in general is one that just is not in people's line of sight. So I wanted to do this particular episode to put it in the spotlight and keep people's minds open about potentially adopting and or rescuing a setter that's in need of a home through perhaps some of the organizations that Travis had mentioned in our episode. You know, all our dogs are family members 365 days a year, even if we hunt 100 days a year. And these dogs definitely need homes. Often, as we were discussing, you can get a tremendous amount of information about these dogs before you need to commit and bring them home. So if you can wrap your head around the idea of the saying that I always say to all of my students, whether I'm doing basic obedience, search and rescue, upland hunting, working with the behaviors, is you have to learn how to love the dog that you have in front of you. And if you're open to a rescue, please go and check out these organizations. I think it's a great thing to do. I've always supported rescues. And I think that Travis is doing a wonderful thing for these dogs. And there are a lot of homes, a lot of dogs in shelters across the country that could potentially use a home like yours. And, you know, if you're committed to the dog with time and training, you very well might be able to make a wonderful upland hunting companion out of them. So thank you for listening. And until next time, have a great one. Bye.